is the McDonald's Mikey Rail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Rail Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another episode of the Viking Roundball Podcast. Alongside the head boys basketball coach of Vinton County, Matt Coles, I'm Carl Knox. So happy you could join us to get informed, enlightened, and updated on everything that is Viking Roundball. The podcast presented by McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's. I'm loving it. In case you're wondering, we're recording this on the afternoon of Monday, February the 20th, 2017. There you go, Combs. I got it in.
Got it in wrong for that.
Yeah. See, we are a professional act because we have been slinged and slunged. Time changes, logistical changes. Only thing we haven't done is changed our flows, at least today. I can't speak for you. I've heard stories, but nonetheless. How you doing, man?
Good, good.
Well, I tell you what, it's a, what is it, 70 degrees outside?
Crazy. I said, I was like, this has to be a baseball coach's dream. I can remember when I used to coach baseball with Jeremy Ward, how miserable it was in the preseason to be in that gym every day.
Yeah.
You know, spring in the old high school. Yeah. And now they're going to be outside here. I think official practice started today, if I'm not mistaken.
Official practice for the Lady Vikings softball team is going on as we speak.
So, I mean, you're talking, they're going to be outside for 6 or 7 straight days here, most likely.
Yeah, you know? I mean, so, weather forecast, I don't want to get too spring feverish yet.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, we're going to get like, you know, white death, like in the middle of March, a 2-day.
That's what you worry about, especially for me, because that'll be, you know, by the time the end of March rolls around and I'm actually ready to go hit the golf course for the first time, we'll probably get winter right then.
I'm telling you now, your domestic life's going to change because we're dragging you out there this spring.
Yeah, it's like, to twist my arm.
It's every day that ends in a Y, you expected to be on the links. So, well, the regular season, my friend, is in the books.
Yeah.
In the rearview mirror. We'll talk about the games in the past. Also, I mentioned changes, adapting, all that stuff. We had intended on having the boys come out here to the padded room this afternoon and record, do a little pizza, and then they were going to go up to Logan and watch the play-in game between, Marietta and New Lex?
Yeah.
Well, that's not happening. It's off. That game's been moved to Wednesday night. So that nicks that idea.
Yeah.
So we're going to record now, and then you're getting ready to head into practice, and we're going to interview the kids out at the school.
Right.
With our remote studio. It's a mobile, you know, like urban assault vehicle. We're going to pull it into the parking lot, and satellite dishes are going to come out of everywhere, and we're going to do it that way.
Yeah.
Because that's how we roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we had to make a little changes. You're without the headset today. Do you want to tell our 18 listeners?
Well, we
had to make
my boys
adaptive.
Are out there in your living room, and you know you do have some valuables out there, whether it be TVs or whatnot. So I'm trying to keep an ear out in case I hear things breaking and shattering. And
I left my wallet on top of the fridge. Do you think
your wallet's fine, but anything breakable, I don't know. So we're gonna keep an eye.
No, the good news is Brogy just woke up from a nap.
Yeah,
so we got at least.
It'll
10,
take him like
10, 15,
minutes.
Yeah, 8.3 right. minutes. Then it's anything can happen.
Yes.
So anyhow, I mentioned the play-in game.
Right.
Talk about that first really quickly. I haven't talked to you much in the last week. But apparently Marietta had two games last weekend, both a Friday and a Saturday game.
Right.
Saturday was a non-league game at Athens, which they won. I don't know who they played Friday, but nonetheless, they petitioned or at least requested the Southeast Ohio District Athletic Board that they scrap the game Monday night and move it to Wednesday night. And I think there was some other, or another night, and I guess there were some other logistical things with Tuesday night as far as Logan's Gym being opened. So, you know, the board did that. And I can see both sides of it, but you weren't really, I don't think you're a bit upset with Marietta.
Right.
I think you were a little, well, I'll just let you, how do you feel about this?
Well, I mean, basically to give the people background on it, the Southeast District Board knew that Tuesday was going to be an issue, which was the original, back way back when the, you know, they first started laying this thing out. Right. It was supposed to be on Tuesday. Like you said, the Logan girls, there was a threat of them having to host a game Tuesday night in their tournament because in the Central District, the higher seed hosts. Well, anyway, Southeast District Board meets on Sunday. Before the brackets were published, they agreed to play it on Monday, today. And like you said, we were planning on going up there and watching today. And then Marietta was upset about that due to the fact they had a Friday-Saturday game and they wanted it moved. And the Southeast District Board just basically within a few hours, I guess, just decided, hey, you know, we're going to move it to Wednesday. So, yeah, we were not happy, to be honest.
Now, how did you find out about this?
Well, that was part of it, too. I mean, we weren't notified by anybody from the Southeast District Board. We actually got an email from a newspaper reporter that we know, just sort of a heads up, hey, listen, just found out this game's going to be changed. So we were upset about the way, the professionalism or lack thereof with which it was handled.
Right.
Just because, you know, again, to be honest, we had no reason to look at the bracket again. Had we not been told, had we not found out the way we found out, I'm not sure that we would have found out. I mean, we literally may have loaded our boys up in a van tonight, went and got pizza, or we were going to do a pizza here this year.
Yeah.
In the past, we eat pizza, load our boys up in a van, and drive up there to an empty parking lot. You know, so nobody even told us it was going on. And, you know, and when we asked the Southeast District Board why, well, you know, we didn't even think about it affecting you. I find it hard to believe. I mean, those guys know people scout, people prepare for the next game.
Yes, I would think.
Anytime you just up and change a date on a bracket after it's, which I've never heard of that happening outside of weather-related issues, yeah. When you do that, it's going to affect everybody in the bracket one way or the other. So it is what it is now, and we don't agree with it. It's not the first time, won't be the last. We disagree with the Southeast District Board, but it is the way it is, and we're going to have to just roll with it. We'll have 5 days here of practice. Only the last two days will we know who we play. Yeah. But we'll get ready. We'll prepare for things that both New Lexington and Marietta do. Obviously, we'll spend a lot of time just worrying about ourselves and mm-hmm. getting better that way. So it is what it is. We some things we tell our kids all the time. There's going to be things happen to you that's outside of your control. And this is one of those that falls under that category. So we're just going to do the best we can. And I'm a lot less worried about that than I am the quality of opponent we're going to play, because I've seen Marietta and New Lex, and they're both good basketball teams. So, it's not going to be your typical 8-9 seed, you know,
right.
Where you get something easy. It's not going to be like that. These teams are going to be some of the better teams we've played all year right off the bat, so we're going to have to be ready.
Well, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Do want to go back to the games, the two games you've had in the past week. You finished the regular season with a, 20-2 regular season record, 11-1 in the TVC. You did have a game last Tuesday night, February the 14th, a long road game that I gave you a lot of grief, but we both agree that is a scary, scary game on a Tuesday night, a long way away from home, and a very athletic, capable Miami Trace team. And you went up there, and final score, you guys 65, Miami Trace 72. You take that on the chin, and I think for anyone that was up there, Miami Trace just shot the ball lights out, especially in the first half.
Yeah.
You guys found, you dug quite a hole for yourself about midway through the second quarter. You were down 35-19 at one time.
Right.
You chip back at halftime. You got it up back to 35-22. And then late in the third quarter, you got it all the way to 48-49. Then the fourth quarter, they hit some shots. They extended their lead to 57-48. You kept fighting, then you started, there's fouls started happening, and you just couldn't just couldn't get ahead late down the stretch. A team that, I guess, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, because it's very, very possible. And again, when it's tournament time, you take them one at a time, not to be cliche.
Right.
But on chalk, that's a Miami Trace is a team you might see in a regional semi. I guess I'd rather lose to them at their place during the regular season and get, you know, at their place than play them in a tournament and lose. But, man, they're athletic. They're quick. They're athletic. They can shoot. Yeah. They're deep. They're a good team.
Oh, yeah, they're a very good team. They were good last year, and they didn't really graduate a whole lot. And this is a group of kids they've been banking on, and they've had a heck of a year. We dug ourselves a hole really through two avenues. One, defensively, we just weren't able at times. They did a good job of picking on some matchups they liked. And like you said, they made shots. You know, when they got the open shot, they made it. And made us pay for it. And then offensively, I thought we just tried to do a little too much. You know, we haven't been in a lot of situations this year where we've been down double figures, you know.
Right.
And I thought our kids just – I didn't think it was panic as much as it was I can fix this type of attitude. I've got this, you know.
Right.
And sometimes kids just try to do too much in an effort to right the ship. And then it just went from bad to worse. So instead of it being a 6-8 point run, it ends up being a bigger run. We get down, like you say, 16.
Yeah.
And you know, down 11 at halftime. And I thought in the second half, I mean, we made a couple defensive adjustments that I thought helped a little, although they still, you know, hit some threes in that third quarter on us.
Yeah, you really never went on a big hard run right out of this, right in the early parts of
right.
the third quarter.
It looked like we were going to. We hit a couple shots, but then they'd answer, and you look up, and they still got a 9-point lead, you know, halfway through the quarter, or three quarters of the way through the third quarter. But I thought it started to swing our way a little bit early fourth. We got it to within one there several times, it seemed like. And every time we got it to within a possession, it just seemed like they either got to the free throw line and converted, or they made a shot. I think the one Pettiford kid was 13 of 13 from the line. I mean, so, you know, it just, they did a good job of just every time they needed an answer, they got an answer. And at the end of the night, we just weren't able to get over the hump. I mean, we had to foul a couple times late, which made it a 7-point game. But really, it was a 1-point game with about a minute and a half left. And we just couldn't get that possession to where we could take the lead. And I think we had a 3-pointer to tie at one point, didn't get that to drop. And then, like I said, they made their free throws. You got to give them credit for closing out the game. But it was a great experience. I think it's going to be something that I know this week we'll probably refer back to it and say, as we get ready for tournament, remember what we did in this situation. This isn't what we want to do. And you can't use that comparison in a 30-point win. Kids don't get that. But when you lose a tough game on the road, kids can understand that. And I think it'll be a good learning experience for us.
Yeah, especially in the second quarter when you dug yourself that deficit.
Right.
I saw several possessions, and I'm not going to single any one kid out because every kid was kind of guilty of it to an extent. It's like you said, we can get out of this. It wasn't a lack of confidence or anything like that, or a deer in the headlights. It's kind of like, oh, well, we can fix this. And I think offensively, you guys came down and just didn't get good looks, rush shots.
Right, turnovers.
Didn't make the extra pass. And to your point, you know, just as far as overall stats, the thing that just jumps out to me, you guys were 6 of 7 from the line. They were 20 of 26. I'm not insinuating at all. It was officiating.
Right.
Because, you know, down the stretch, you had to send the line. One, that's a key stat. Transition points, they had 22 in transition to your 9. Overall rebounds, you had 26 to their 28. You turned the ball over 16 times, they turned it over 9. The overall shooting stats, you guys were 52% from the field, they were 42%. They were 10 of 20 from beyond the three-point line, you guys were 11 of 25. But in terms of turnovers, free throw percentages, and that all kind of comes back to not just the foul situation, but, you know, kind of trying to make too much happen too quickly.
Well, you just hit a couple key stats. When you play a team like Miami Trace, they're at their best when they score off their D a little bit. And we took care of the ball pretty well through most of the game. But you said we had 16 turnovers, and I guarantee you a lot of those are right there in that little stretch in the second quarter.
Right.
And not only do you turn it over, but then they score in transition. And those were two stats that you just said, you know, they won those two battles, the turnover battle and the transition scoring battle. And I think
They walk hand in hand, those two things, you know. So I think that most of that happened in that second quarter, and you dig yourself a hole. There's no guarantee against a good team you'll get completely out of, and we just weren't able to.
Yeah, take nothing away from Miami Trace. Wishing the best. Big win for them at their place. And we said might see them again later. Scoring for Vinton County individually, Derek Jones leads the Vikes with 25. Tristan Bartow with 18. Nalen Yates with 12. Bryce Dameron has 4. Jake Speakman has 6. And that is the scoring for Vinton County. In terms of Miami Trace, what's the guard's name? No, it wasn't Pitzer. What? I didn't get the stats.
There's two Pettifords and a Pitzer. The Pitzer kid had a nice game against us, and then the Pettiford, they're both kind of guards, I guess, but the more of the guard, number zero, can't remember his first name, but he was the one that went 13-13 from the line and probably was one of their leading scorers as well.
You know, I don't know what the Pettiford family tree is like at Miami Trace, but it seems like they got at least two or three.
Well, yeah, the funny thing about it is their dad, I believe, played at Edina High School back about the time I played. He's about my age.
Why didn't he go back to Edina?
Yeah,
take his kids with him.
So I don't know how they eventually ended up there. There's a couple years ago there they had 4 Pettifords were playing for Miami Trace.
Yeah, I remember that was back
just a couple years back.
Max Ward,
real nice post player, and another kid, and so slowly but surely we're graduating off the Pettifords, but. Yeah, they were a good group.
Okay, well, we'll move on to happier things as we have senior night at home, obviously, Friday, February the 17th. Pick up a 96-57 win over the Wellston Golden Rockets. Pretty much a packed house outside of the Alex game. I'd say it was probably your strongest crowd of the year. A lot of family there. As you guys recognized, you're getting that look on your face. We good?
Yeah, I'm good. I just want to make sure.
Hey, Dad. Know. Dad, you do what you need to do. Go out there and whoop some. You know. We'll turn on some elevator music as Coach Combs goes out here and. Are we good?
Yeah.
Good? You know, I didn't even stop tape.
Oh, I would.
Because we have parents that are listening, and those parents have experienced the things.
I'm not even breathing hard. Went down, beat them down a little bit. No, I'm just joking.
You didn't even, your voice didn't even go up. So nice thing about those kids, Brevin's like the alpha dog. He's still at that age where he can kind of control Brogy a little bit.
Not much.
It's fading quickly. Anyhow, back to senior night. A nice win. Just talk about your seniors. Talk about the evening.
Yeah.
It was a good deal. The way the whole game.
Yeah, it really was. We have 6 seniors, which was weird, you know, in terms of trying to start people. We announced all 6 of them. I thought Derek Jones, very unselfish, obviously said, hey, look, bring me off the bench.
How did that go down?
He was just adamant about it. I wanted Tristan and Derek especially to start. I just felt like with the careers they've had, they should. But Derek was really adamant about it. He wanted some of these guys that hadn't had the opportunity to start all year to start. And because we've only had 2 seniors start all year long, and that's Derek and Tristan, you know. And he wanted these other 4 guys to get to start. And I was like, let's see if we can figure something out. So he's like, no, this is what I want. And he was really adamant about it. And I respect that. It goes to show you his level of unselfishness. And in truth be told, had one of those other guys knew he was doing it, they would have probably said no, you know. And we just have that type of group, you know.
Right. So Derek didn't say this in front of the whole team.
No, he just came to me and that's what he wanted. So, but we got off to a great start. I mean, right out of the gate, Seth Bledsoe scores, and then Antonio hits a 3, and you could tell pretty quick it was just going to be one of those nights. And crowd was great, playing on a lot of emotion, and we just jumped out so fast that I think we had 25, 28 points in the first quarter or something.
You outscored them 27-8 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Outscored them 24-11 in the second. You know, really. This game was over, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Wellston and Coach Briggs. It kind of had a scrimmage exhibition feel to it in the second half.
Well, yeah, because basically in the second half what we did was we wanted to make sure we were getting everybody some minutes, and we tried to go some 5-man groups.
Right.
And really the weird thing was we wanted to play our seniors a little bit in the fourth, and some guys like Bryce Dameron and Eli Griffith and Nalen Yates, some guys that typically play a lot for us, just didn't get to play much, if at all, in the fourth. I know Nalen sat out the entire fourth. And he's such a great kid. He understands. It was sort of the seniors' night to shine, and we gave them some extra time. And you know, so it was a good way to sort of put the ending on a really good regular season, a really memorable regular season. And then, but I think all of us, we celebrated a little, but it was a little subdued because I think we all have our mind sort of moving forward on this tournament. So
scoring for Vinton County, Derek Jones leads the Vikings with 27 points. Tristan Bartow with 22. All the seniors did score, by the way. Seth Bledsoe with 7. Antonio Menendez with 3. Caleb Montgomery with 4. Curtis Vickers with 3. Other scoring for Vinton County, Eli Griffith has 2. Nalen with 12. Bryce with 7. Nevin Yates with 1 and Jake Speakman with 4. You guys shoot 60% from the field. You go 16 of 35 for 46% from beyond the arc. You had 12 turnovers to their 3. As far as rebounds, you guys had 32. Eli Griffith with 6 boards for the Vikings, and Wellston had 27. As far as the JV score, the JV wins that 37-24, and the freshman game they lose in a tight one, 30-28, to the freshman Wellston Golden Rockets. So moving on now, even though you don't know who you're going to play, talked to you, what was it, yesterday, and you know, the conversation, I know you went and scouted Marietta over at Athens. And I got a sense from you, and sometimes I can tell when you're giving lip service, and sometimes I can tell when you're genuinely not putting the old professional spin on it, so to speak. You were impressed with Marietta, very impressed.
Yeah, we went over to watch Marietta the other night. We've seen a little bit of New Lexington. Unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to see them in person yet. We will, obviously, when they play each other here this week. But was impressed with New Lex on film when I saw them, and then I've been equally as impressed with Marietta. Marietta is a team of mostly guards, not a lot of size in terms of height, but really strong athletic kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can really tell they've been in the weight room, and they're quick, and they can they like to pressure you defensively and kind of mix things up and trap you and get after you a little bit. So, yeah, I was impressed. They've had if you look, they've got 13 wins now. That's not your typical 8 seed, you know.
Yeah, they've pulled off some nice wins, especially down the stretch.
Yeah, they beat
where they got seeded versus their ending record.
Well, they were 10-9 and they've won their last 3 basically. They beat Zanesville Friday night at home, and then they beat Athens Saturday.
They lost to Meadowbrook, I think.
Well, they lost to Meadowbrook. Meadowbrook had a really good team this year.
Yeah, they're high
out
seed
of the East. And they lost to Warren a couple times, but this Marietta team, I think, had Warren down 20-some points and ended up getting beat.
That was at Warren, too.
Yeah, and Warren comes back and beats them. So they're very capable. They're going to surely be a test if that's who we play. Obviously, they're going to have to go play New Lex, who's got a nice team, too, so we'll see who comes out of that. But I think the main thing for us, we're going to try to, like I said earlier in the show, just try to pick out some things that both teams do that we can prepare for, and then use these first 3 days to better ourselves, you know, skill work, conditioning. We gave the kids 2 days off because we felt like we just needed to decompress a little bit. Let's totally clear our heads.
Are you going to go pretty hard and fast the next 2 days?
Yeah, today is going to be hard and fast. Tomorrow's probably going to be pretty hard and fast. We're gonna get a lot of conditioning in. We're going to get a lot of skill work in. And then
Wednesday will be a
as
short
we get closer
team
to the end of the week. We will slow things down a little bit and start really, once we know who we're playing, start really working on their stuff specifically, and then be ready Saturday. And that's tournament basketball. If you're fortunate enough to advance, you're going to have another week before you play again.
Right.
And it just seems like that's the way it's laid out. We're going to talk to our guys today. You got to be able to practice fast and crisp without getting bored and without getting stagnant. Because at this point in the year, every kid doesn't love practice, obviously. But I think we can do it in a way where it's just crisp. Let's get this drill, get in and out of drills, do this. And we don't have to go for 2.5 hours to get a lot done. And you know, I think we've done a pretty good job this year with that. There's a lot of times we'll practice an hour but it'll be a hard, intense hour. So,
right.
You know, hopefully that's the kind of flow we can get in here and have a good week of practice and be ready Saturday.
Yeah, and like you said, when this point in time in the season, regardless of your record, sometimes it's hard to get the kids focused. And I know I've seen practices where you go hard and fast, like you mentioned, for an hour, hour and 15 minutes. I've also seen you take practices more, and you've even told the kids, I don't need you a lot physically tonight, but I need your heads.
Yeah.
When you're doing walkthroughs and emulating that. But to your point, as far as the scouting report on Marietta, when you mentioned they press, they're not just a man-to-man press full court. They'll zone man you full court. They'll half court.
They mix it up. Yeah, they do some different things. The other night against Athens, they came out just full court deny, contest every pass. Excuse me, like you would if you were down 10 points with 2 minutes left.
Right.
They came out with that level of intensity, and then later in the game when they made a run on Athens, they were in a extended like little 2-3 look where they're just sort of trapping up top. So they'll mix it up, half court, full court, and you have to be able to handle the ball against them.
Okay.
And you know, and we've got the guards to do that, obviously. But I think that you know, you just have to prepare yourself for it. No matter how talented you are, you still want to be prepared what you're going to see, so you're not surprised by it.
All right, I need some advice.
Yeah,
heading out to the DB Cakes mobile technology unit.
Yeah.
The urban assault vehicle, and make my way, you know, with our wireless contraptions and whatnot, to interview your six seniors.
Yes.
Any last wishes of hope that I don't questions I don't ask, or how should I handle these guys?
They're a pretty good group. They I haven't heard them talk. I know they talked on the radio the other night. I obviously didn't.
It was
hear
good.
That.
And, yeah, I listened.
They're a good group. You know. Pretty easy going group, like to get a good laugh. I'm sure you won't have any trouble getting them to you know, nudge me a little bit on the air. They enjoy that type of thing. But
good.
They're pretty personable, pretty talkative, all except maybe Tristan. He's not a real talkative type, but the rest of them will talk to you pretty good, and you know, you'll have fun with them, I'm sure. It's a good group.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting. We're going to do them in pairs.
There you go.
I mean, I figured with six, and they all kind of do pair up. This is not, you know, you got Curtis and Seth, who knew their roles going into it.
Right.
And are very happy with their roles and have been, you know, outstanding teammates. Everyone, they get along with everyone.
Sure.
Then you kind of got Antonio and Caleb kind of
defensive stoppers,
enforcers, defensive stoppers, whatever you want to call them. They kind of have that role. And then, of course, you got the two big stars, the scorers, you know, that have been playing, you know, and been friends since they were toddlers, and Derek and Tristan. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you don't think they will have any problems making light of their head coach?
No,
or
no.
The rest of the staff.
We have a pretty good culture in our locker room where we like to get a good laugh. And one of the big things we talk about, you got to be willing to laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. So the coaches follow that too. You know, they dog us and we dog them back, and it's funny at times, but we have a good time. We have a lot of fun.
Okay, well, appreciate you stopping in with the tornado.
Go out and see if your basement's still intact, and hopefully it is.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in and joining me. And the seniors are next as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. All right, back in the Viking Rumble podcast. Coach Combs is not with us anymore. We brought in the real talent of the Vikings, starting with our six seniors. Up first, Curtis Vickers, along with Seth Bledsoe. And you guys I've not gotten a lot of playing time, but you've gotten quite a bit. I know Friday night versus Wellston, that had to be pretty cool to get to start for both of you. Let's talk a little bit about how, I mean, I know you don't play a lot. Curtis, I know you've tried out. This is what, your second year on the varsity? Mm-hmm. And when did you move back here, Seth, from Wellston?
I moved here sophomore year.
Your sophomore year.
Yeah.
So you went to Wellston your freshman year, and then you guys are both very active in the plays and things like that.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have any problem getting you guys to talk, because you guys can stand in front of 500-600 people and sing.
Yeah.
Anyone that watched The Addams Family last year, you were Gomez.
Yeah, I was.
Okay. And you, what was your...
I was a caveman.
That's right. You were the caveman. But anyhow, as far as
this year so far, because it's not over yet, and I think you guys, I don't need to tell you that. What do you like most about playing for with your buddies here on the team? Because I know you guys are pretty close, and as far as Coach Combs, what do you like, Kurt?
I just love the competitiveness of it. Like, if I can just go up, especially with another team, it's just a lot of fun just seeing who's better. I just love the competitiveness.
Now, I understand you kind of got the nickname Mr. 100.
Yeah.
Because what was it? Nelsonville and then...
Nelsonville and then River Valley.
You were the one that got both, got them in the triple digits. And you, I want to call you Mr. Rainball Man.
All right.
Because, I mean, I tell you what, when you stroke a three...
Yeah.
I get enough time to go to the concession stand, maybe get me a dog, because that sucker's got some arc on it.
Yeah,
but it doesn't. I mean, it's a score. It's a box score that counts. What about when did you – obviously, you played on the varsity team last year, Seth. You didn't. Did you play in summer season? Did you
– I played AAU ball for the shock team in Athens.
Okay. Did you participate in any of the varsity as far as going to shootouts or anything like that? Or did you just start it for conditioning and made the cut, made the team?
Yep.
Were you involved in the summer season at all?
Yeah, I went to a few of the open gyms and stuff and some of the smaller scrimmages.
Okay. What's it like playing for Matt Combs and Coach Kite and the staff? I mean, what are they like? Are they for people who have never – I mean, everybody, Viking fans right now are coming out of the woodwork with you guys' records.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Most people don't see what happens here at practice when it's just you guys and the coaches and nobody else. What's he like off the, off the grid, so to speak, when you're not playing a game?
Well, if you've ever seen the movie Split, I think I can kind of compare that to a lot of the coaches.
Okay.
There's a lot of different personalities that come out of him. Like, in the game, I mean, they can get crazy. I can get mad. They can get mean. They'll pat you on the back, say you did a good job. But, outside of basketball, they're always fun, goofing around, making fun of each other, making fun of us. And
to that point, Seth, do you guys ever make fun back?
Oh, yeah. I remember one day.
Really?
Coach Kite walked into practice, and we all just started throwing balls at him.
I was there.
Yeah.
Christmas break.
Yeah.
Now, who normally orchestrates or who's the planner of this when you do stuff like that to the coaches? Does it vary?
It all just kind of happens.
Yeah,
really?
One person says, hey, let's do this, and we all just do it.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed you did that to Coach Kite.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that to Coach Combs?
No.
any chance that might?
No, Combs' bite's a little bit bigger than Kite's.
Sure. Have you ever seen him eat? Yeah, I mean, that's the talk is who could win an eating contest between him and Bryce?
Whenever I went out to eat with Bryce, we went to Sonic, I think. He ordered 20 wings. Ate them all.
20,
ate them all.
It's nice. He's a growing boy.
He is.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with Combs, but Kite's a little wuss. Don't go worry about him.
No, I play a lot of golf. I've been on golf trips with Combs, and it's just keep your hands and feet away from his mouth, and no one will get hurt. And don't ever offer to pay the tab. As far as after graduation, you guys are both, like I mentioned, you're both very involved in the drama here. You're both, I take it, in the play this year.
Yeah.
Big roles, or what roles do you guys have?
I'm King Triton.
Okay. What are you, Seth?
I'm playing a couple different roles. I'll be a chef. I'm a sailor. I'm the understudy for Pilot.
So. You're an understudy for a guy with a broken leg on crutches?
Yeah.
I don't know. For people who – this is brand new, hot news off the press. Seth Bledsoe broke his fibula, Saturday?
Yep, Saturday.
So you're done for the year, but I'm sure you'll be there in support.
Oh, yeah.
Juggling between the play – basketball, you guys are busy. I know you're both excellent students. After high school, what do you guys want to get into, Seth?
I have a few scholarship offers to continue playing sports in college. I'll probably end up going to Worcester to play football, the college of Worcester. It's a D3 football program.
Right, it's a nice school.
It is. It's a beautiful
Small,
campus.
But it's nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I'm going to go to the Coast Guard right at the end of this summer coming up to be an AMT, which is an aviation maintenance technician.
Well, how did you – I mean, what kind of sparked your interest about that?
Oh, well, everybody I've ever talked to that was in the Coast Guard has absolutely loved it. I haven't heard a single person say, man, I'd love to do something else.
Right.
So I just wanted to be a part of that.
That's cool. I appreciate you serving your country, and I'm sure you'll get, go on to maybe go to college after you finish your tour or just get a job in the Coast Guard. I got a buddy of mine that went into the Air Force with every intention of just going for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He just retired at 50 years old.
Yeah, you can retire in 20 years.
Yeah, and he's raking in big bucks. And he was like over 50 mechanics. That's all he did was service jets, and he was over the crew that did that. So, well, guys, I appreciate you taking time. Good luck to you. Good luck with the leg, good luck in the tournament, okay?
All right, thanks.
Back on the Viking Roundball Podcast, now alongside Antonio Mendez and Caleb Montgomery. I guess do you guys get offended by being called role players?
Nah, no, not really.
You didn't. Now you were out with an MCL, meniscus injury. You didn't get cleared until what, first part of January?
Yeah, right at the beginning of the month.
And then you, Antonio, kind of filled Caleb's role as kind of being the defensive stopper. I like to call them enforcers because that's kind of, a lot of people get offended by that, but I really don't care. That's kind of what your job is to, you play hard-nosed defense. You came first part of the season, you were kind of the enforcer role player off the bench. You were rehabbing your knee and getting healthy again. And then what game was it?
Maysville.
The Maysville game. We were winning big time, and I saw something out of your knee where you just completely dislocated it. Right on the court, you handled it better than I think. Did it hurt as bad as it looked?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it hurt.
And now you're clear, you're back 100%.
Yep.
Was it just basically, did they have to do anything, any surgical procedure, just rest it?
Nope.
Because I saw the trainer come out and
popped it back in.
Yeah, and it was one of those things that I knew what was going on as soon as she looked at Nolan, Coach Yates, and said, make him turn his head away, but man, she must be pretty good to do that, let alone to do it in front of a crowd of 600 or 700 people. That must be pretty good. But you're good to go now. You're healthy, Caleb. Mm-hmm. Quickly, what do you guys think about the season? To you first, Antonio, because last year I know your football is kind of your main sport. You played JV, freshman JV ball, then you took last year off to work out in the weight room, kind of get things right there and get ready for football season. At what point in time did you decide that you were going to come out for the varsity team, or did someone come to you? I mean, how did that whole thing go down?
Oh, last year before I even decided not to play, I knew I was going to play my senior year. I mean, it's my last year.
Right.
Figured, why not? Maybe go out there and help my team, but...
And it has to be a good call in hindsight now, because when you go, 20-2 in the regular season, that's fun. Can't be a lot of discipline. Now, you've played football, basketball. Do you play a spring sport?
I did track last year.
Okay.
Still kind of on the fence if I'm going to do that again or not, but, you know, I've kind of thrown it around a couple times.
Okay. Now, I know after high school, I've heard that you've been accepted into the Naval Academy.
No. So I have nominations right now.
Okay.
So I still have to have, an appointment. I've got a nomination to West Point and the Naval Academy, and I just have to have an appointment to either one of them.
Are you, if you get the nomination for either one of those, are you definitely going to go?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like you're weighing that with college or anything like that?
No, I got some other, Plan B options to fall back on, too.
Okay. Well, I know a guy by the name of Jason Snyder, who I grew up with, went to the Naval Academy, and that'll turn a boy into a man real quick. What about you, Antonio? After graduation, any plans so far about what you want to get into, what you want to do?
I'm going to college somewhere. Pretty sure Rio.
What do you want to study at? Or
I'm going to be an X-ray tech.
It's a good job. Yeah. Steady money. It's obviously in demand. What's it like playing for Coach Combs and the rest of the Yin Yangs on his staff?
Oh, it's great.
It's always a lot of fun. You know, always a lot of action and stuff going on, having a good time.
Do things get kind of chippy in practice?
No, they can.
I'm talking between you guys, because I know you're a very close-knit bunch of guys. I mean, you're all friends on and off the court, but I know you're also very competitive.
Yeah, we're really competitive and you know, on and off the court, we're always competitive in class. He's got better grades or just about anything. Or, you know, we're kind of, what would you say, mean to each other sometimes. We pick on each other a lot and stuff and just give each other hard times.
Well, listen, I know you guys got to get to practice. Appreciate the time. Good luck to you, and good luck the rest of the way, okay?
All right,
thanks. Antonio Mendez and Caleb Montgomery. All right, we're back with two senior captains, Tristan Bartow and Derek Jones, here on the Viking Roundball Podcast. Well, I've saved the best for last. That's what some people say. Now, before you guys get the big head, some people have told me otherwise. You cats have been friends since... Now, you're both raised in Zaleski. You both live in Zaleski, right?
I do.
I live in MacArthur now.
Okay, but did you back when you were little? Is that how you guys got to know each other?
No, we just really started playing basketball together.
Really? Yeah. I thought you guys lived close together. But, you know, your friendship formed what, second grade? I mean, early, whenever you guys started.
Kindergarten, I think.
Somewhere around there.
Really?
Our dads were friends when they were in high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
We went to Swan Elementary.
Yeah.
Kindergarten, we went there together.
Okay, and after that, and you guys both were into basketball then. Now, at what age were you sick? What was that before you were in kindergarten?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was only like 3 or 4, I think.
Okay, so you had kind of crossed that hurdle and, were healthy then. I obviously you guys are both premier players here. I know you're in the running for not only TBC Player of the Year, but there's been talk about, district player. You know, all these different things are going around. But I also know that you're an inordinately you're not cocky. You're confident. You're a confident group, but you're not head cases either.
Yeah.
And I know you guys will fight like brothers. I've heard some great stories about blood almost being shed during practices. And this isn't just on the varsity level. This goes back to when you guys were in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
How many times can you... is that something that's really true, that you guys have actually came to blows?
I remember 8th grade year, Jason Evers was a coach, and we were just dribbling, just trying to get one past one another up the court.
Right.
And he couldn't get past me, and he got mad and just threw the ball at me, and we just started throwing balls at each other right in the middle of practice.
Okay, now I got to clear this myth, Derek. I've heard this because everyone thinks that Tristan Bartow is like real quiet. And someone told me once.
Is that a bold faced lie?
Okay, I've heard that he likes to talk a little trash sometimes, that he knows how to pull strings.
Yeah, he likes to talk a lot of trash.
So, for all the Viking fans out there that think this innocent little boy next door guy...
It's not dirty trash.
No, no, no.
It's kind of like... It's like, just trying to miss this free throw.
Because I think it had been either Coach Kite or Coach Combs told me this story. And I'm not saying this to embarrass you at all, because I know you've gotten your way. It goes back and forth. But there was a point in time in a practice once that you guys were kind of... You were going live... And you were on one team, he was on the other, and they knew it was getting chippy. But at some, you did one of your patented moves, and you crossed him up, and like you fell down. Instead of you helping him up, or I guess you made some comment that we've been playing together all these years and you still can't handle that. I don't know what it is, but at any rate.
I think I remember that.
Really?
I don't remember falling down. He might have crossed me up, but.
I'm sure there's been plenty of times that you've stroked a three or gotten around him, and there's, whether there's words said or not, there was a look. And sometimes that look is, I don't even have to say anything, but this season, guys, obviously last year as juniors, you guys have both been playing varsity since your freshman year. Been playing a lot of playing time. Have you both started? Did you both start starting your sophomore year?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 3-year starters, 4-year lettermen. Obviously last year winning the district. This year, it's been a great regular season, and I know at this point in time, that doesn't mean squat anymore. It's the new season and win and survive kind of thing. What has this season been like, having what you got kind of in the rearview mirror as far as the success you had last year? Obviously, with Coach being sick this year, I know you guys, that had to require some leadership on your guys' behalf. What's this year been like?
I don't know. I mean, there's a little bit of pressure from last year, but
right.
I still think we got even bigger goals this year.
And that's all, you take one game at a time.
Yeah.
As this year, what do you feel like the chemistry of this team? How is this team different than last year's team?
I feel like we all know each other. I feel like we've known each other since way back. I feel like,
right, and that's not just for the starting five. That goes deep into the bench. I mean, even
we share the ball well too. We push it, and it doesn't matter who scores 20 that night and who scores 2.
And I've seen, like, in different game situations, like, Nalen will miss a few shots, and you can tell he's really frustrated. And I've seen you guys both, like, settle down. You know, it's not. And I've seen games where you'll put up big numbers, and you'll be an assist machine. I mean, I don't know. How many assists did you have against Wellston, or do you even know?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
You don't keep track of that stuff. Just W's.
Yeah.
It's like every guy just tries to find what the team needs, and that's all we do.
Well, as far as when this whole thing's said and done, Does it ever occur? I mean, how was Friday night with senior night? Is it like, do you kind of sit there and go to yourself, where in the hell did these four years just go?
Yeah.
It went by quick.
Definitely after the game, like thinking, like once I got home and stuff like that, just thinking about everything that went down that night and the past 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like how quickly time flies, and you stop when you walk. When you walked out of this gym Friday night, you're like, yeah, we're going to practice until we get knocked out of the tournament. But in terms of running out of that tunnel with the home crowd, it's done.
Yep.
And to that point, I know I see a lot of kids. It's amazing the way people are coming out of the woodwork to see this. And I know you guys really like the crowd support, and you know, you get jacked up about that. I see all these little kids running around with like Bartow and Jones jerseys on. And I remember when my daughter, who's a freshman now, was like playing second grade, you know, real little. And I think you, Derek, were... well, fifth or sixth grade, and you were reffing a game, and you had a ball in your hand. I'm like, who is this little punk kid out there? And at the same time, I remember seeing a picture, Tristan, that your mom put on Facebook of Dustin and Dill Guthrie,
mm-hmm.
of like the 08-09 team, yeah. back in that. And I'm like, you know, you were a little guy.
Yeah.
But my point being is that I'm sure you guys – When that team was making its run in 07, 08, 09 back and then, you guys were little kids. And did you, I think it goes without saying, you probably looked at them as like rock star heroes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it cool for you to see little kids that you know are coming out to see you? Is that pretty special?
That's awesome, yeah.
Well, that's cool. As far as after this thing's all over with, I know I talked to you earlier in the season. I've heard Otterbein. I've heard Shawnee State, Derek. Where are you at right now, or is there...
I'm definitely looking at Shawnee, but I actually did observation for the dental hygiene program. I had to complete 12 hours, and I did 8 hours of it today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's why we're having practice
this
at 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm stuck here in the coach's office along with you.
Yeah, from 8 to 5.
See how it works, Tristan?
Yeah.
Everything's about Derek. Yeah, Derek.
That's not the game.
Hey, you had the day off school, Tristan. You could have been out in the woods by now. Could have had an early practice and had this thing done.
Yeah.
No, it's all about Derek. What about you, Tristan? Were you college, or what are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to get college somewhere, but I'm still not sure.
Do you want to play at the next level? Or you just,
yeah.
Obviously you're getting contacted by, I've heard Ryo's interested. I heard a rumor, and I don't know, maybe you guys can tell me if this is true or not. I've heard that Marietta is interested, not in one of you, but both of you. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that.
I've heard they're also interested in another kid. You might know him, Griffin Lutz.
Yeah, we know his dad pretty well, and he said.
Right.
Thinking about going there.
Yeah, I don't know if I've leaked Marietta's recruiting, but that's you know how rumors go around.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you guys played AAU together, everything. I know it will break your heart if I had to keep you out of practice, but I better let you go because you know how Combs he gets this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets that dazed and confused, you know. How many times do you guys crack up laughing at him?
At least once a practice, usually.
Yeah. Is it for something he says? Or?
Yeah, usually.
I've heard his... He's admitted to me that he is not a good motivational speaker.
He starts to get you motivated, then he'll just... out of nowhere.
Then something will just come out of left field.
Yeah. I mean, he's gotten better this year. He said something to Jackson that really fired us up.
He was getting there, and then he finally said something. I forget what it was, and then we just started... I don't know. I just almost started laughing right there.
I don't know. It was last year or year before... He said something, let's let it rip tonight, or let it... And I guess the way... do you remember this?
I think so.
I guess the way he said it, I guess everybody... Like, all the assistant coaches just kind of turned around because everyone's trying not to laugh.
And, oh, he said some funny stuff. I remember in Michigan, there's one thing he said. I'm not going to repeat it because it was the funniest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, I'm
sure you probably heard about it.
I have. Thing is, the best thing is, I know you guys are in a situation, you're kids, and you do show, you're supposed to show respect, and there's sometimes it's hard not. I play a lot of golf with him, so I've seen his mental breakdowns when I'm a grown guy just like him, so I don't have to hold it in. And Jeff Miller, who used to coach here, Oh, I've seen him being broken, you know. But at any rate, guys, I appreciate your time. Good luck to you. Please take them one game at a time and don't lay an egg in this tournament and get the job done, okay?
Yep.
All right, Tristan Bartow and Derek Jones on the Viking Round Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast.